so many people in the world today who are living a lie? Bold statement, I know. But just look around. How many people see themselves for what they truly are? How many people see others the way they truly are? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we continue with the next message in this series called Love Is. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called Love Is, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you experience God's love and share God's love. But this is the very last week that it'll be available, so don't miss out. I have to be honest with you, for the first 36 years of my life, I was pretty much living a lie. Here's what that lie looked like. You're told in this world that if you work hard enough, you can do anything you want to do. You can be anyone you want to be. You can have just about anything you want to have. Just work hard and you'll make it. Just work hard and you'll be successful. So I did. I worked incredibly hard as a military officer, then in my own IT consulting firm, and with my business partners, we were pretty successful. We had an international consulting practice. I drove a big, expensive car. I lived in a big house. And you know what? I was on my way to real success. The problem was that on the inside, and let's face it, that's where you live. That's where your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts are. It just didn't satisfy me. This was a real insight for me. Success isn't satisfying. The world will tell you that it is, but it simply isn't. It's hollow. Any happiness or satisfaction it brings you is fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. So in a very real sense, I felt like a fraud. Other people looked at me and they saw success, but I was discovering something else entirely. And when other people looked at me, they saw a tough, hard-nosed so-and-so who'd climb over anybody to get where he was going. You see, that's the other part of the lie that I was living. I didn't see people for who they really were. I didn't see other people's gifts and abilities and talents and creativity. Other people didn't really have any worth to me, except to the extent that they could act as stepping stones for me to walk over to get where I was going. Now, that's quite an admission, really, isn't it? But there you go. That was the lie that I was living. And these days, as I look around, I see so many other people living out their versions of life's lie. You'll be happy if you have this. If you buy a cute puppy, then you'll be happy. If you hit budget this month, if you do this, if you do that, then you'll be successful. And so what happens is that the world has become uber competitive. The world has become transactional. And in the middle of all that, love has become conditional. As I said earlier, we're in the middle of a series of messages called Love Is, based on that powerful scripture about love that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's just have another listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And the part that I'd like to take a brief look at today is the bit where it says that love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. To be honest, I think most of us don't think all that often of love and truth in the one sentence. What does truth have to do with love, after all? Good question. And the answer is rather a lot. I mentioned earlier how badly I treated people back in those days when I was living my personal version of the lies that we live. And that's what happens. When we're living a lie, when we're kidding ourselves and we've lost sight of the truth, we end up treating people badly. And we justify that by telling ourselves that our career is more important, our success is more important, or whatever it is that we're striving for is more important. And so what we end up doing is exactly what the Apostle Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. We end up rejoicing in wrongdoing instead. Now, not everyone is a type A driven personality like me. Some people live their lie at the opposite end of that spectrum. Some people believe the lie that they're worthless, no good, failures, there's no hope, nothing's ever going to change. These days, we have a label for all that. We bundle it all together and we call it low self-esteem. And those people end up living their lives as victims, and in the process, they treat other people badly as well because they have no love to give. They're so insecure that whenever anyone disagrees with them, whenever anyone doesn't treat them exactly the way they believe they ought to have been treated, they start behaving badly. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Makes sense when you look at it that way. There's a parable that Jesus told that's had a huge impact on my life in helping me to see the truth. Have a listen. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he was beating his breast and saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other one. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. I used to be like the Pharisee, all full of self-righteousness. The thing that changed me was encountering Jesus, having a personal encounter, getting to know him, giving my life to him. It didn't take long for me to realize in the presence of Jesus that I was living a lie. And now when I go to God, I feel so much more like that tax collector, totally reliant on God's grace to deliver me from my sin. Jesus said this very same thing in a different way during his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, those who are going to inherit the kingdom of God are the ones who realize their spiritual poverty, those who get real with themselves, those who see things for what they are, who see themselves and others for who they are. Okay, so I've laid my soul bare before you today. I've shared with you part of my journey from a life of lies to a life of truth, a journey which, by the way, has a long way yet to run. None of us has arrived yet, at least I haven't. But what about your life? To what extent are you living a life that's tainted, distorted, misdirected by some lies that the world's dropped on your head and into your heart? What are you striving for, perhaps? Or what sense of inadequacy is robbing you of the ability to love? I know they're hard questions, but they're questions that need to be asked and answered if you're going to live in the freedom that Jesus came to give you. It can be scary to confront those lies. It's hard to admit that we've not been loving people the way we should because we're the ones who've been getting things wrong. But there's no need to be afraid. The Apostle John puts it this way, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears hasn't reached perfection in love." My friend, Jesus came to set you free. And as he said of himself, "When the Son of Man sets you free, you'll be free indeed." The reason we're chatting about this today is that I believe that Jesus wants to set you free today, not just a little bit, but completely. Free indeed. How about it? Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. Love rejoices in the truth. Love, they say, is what makes the world go round. Fair enough. But sometimes we don't feel loved. And sometimes we struggle to share love with those around us. Not easy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Love Is. Because God's Word, man, it is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that through this simple booklet, He'll help you experience His love and share His love. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.